Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin reading verse number 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I've said this several times to some young preachers that have called and sought advice and to our church planners, but I said, you know, and I've been out most of this month, so how do I do everything? But I said, I think during this Pride Month, every preacher ought to go to the pulpit and preach a message and condemn the wicked sin of sodomy and the wicked sin of their term, homosexuality. And I want to just start by saying this, you know what, folks, listen to me. We need to have the heart of God. And the heart of God always loves sinners. But you know what? Also, the heart of God hates sin. And I don't want to ever preach in such a way, or I don't ever want to talk about this sin in such a way that would cause you to hate people. You know, hate the devil that's deceiving them. Hate the devil that's taken them captive at his will, but and pray that they get saved. I mean, the great reason for us to preach the truth is so that somebody will hear the truth and turn from their sins to Christ. Because Jesus Christ died to deliver us from our sins. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I'm going to read this portion of Scripture, and I'm going to give an introduction. Seven lies the sodomites need you to believe. I've preached for years in January on seven lies the abortionists need you to believe. Well, you know what? The devil is the father of all lies. And the only way that he can take a sin and turn it into something that seems saintly in the eyes of some people is to lie. And we're going to expose those lies tonight because you need to know the truth. You're going to hear the opposite of everything I say. You're going to hear the opposite, the lie propagated in the mainstream media almost every single day. And so it's easy if, you know, a lie is repeated often enough, you know what, people start just accepting it as truth. And somebody's got to stand up from time to time and say, this is a lie. And let me tell you why it's a lie and take the truth and expose the lie. And there are, they advance their ideology through lying. And so somebody's got to get up and say, tell the truth. So we're going to do that tonight. I want to say to the parents, I understand this is a Sunday night. We've got our children in the auditorium. And children, you know, you may say, preacher, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I just want to explain it very carefully. By the way, thank God you don't. But, you know, in a nutshell for you to understand it, and parents, I promise you I'll be very careful with this. And I mean it. There's a lot of illustrations I'm not going to use that I could use. There are a lot of things going on that I could talk about very specifically that I'm just not going to in this arena. We're going to stick to the Word of God. But young people, as weird as this might sound and as unnatural as this might sound, by the way, it is weird and it is unnatural. You know, you came from a home where you got a mom and a dad, and you know what? God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve, you know. And yet there are some people that get so far away from God and get so darkened in their hearts and get so sinful in their lives that instead of wanting a man, instead of him wanting to marry a woman, he decides he wants to marry a man. And instead of a woman wanting to marry a man, all of a sudden she decides she wants to marry a woman. And that's as much as you need to know, except for the fact that you need to hear the lies, because parents, you try to shelter them all you can. They're going to be exposed to these lies. It's everywhere. And, you know, young people, I see a lot of our young people just looking at me like, what? And the reason that innocence has that natural reaction is because, you know what, they didn't know anything about it. And yet, there's something inside of them that says, you know what, they're created by God. That says, that's not right. And listen, folks, we have to have our conscience seared with a hot iron to accept this kind of thing and to advance this kind of thing. Well, I got to get into it because the sermon's lengthy. We'll be here to at least 9:30. And I'm kidding. We're going to cover this in a timely fashion. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible says this, for the wrath of God, think about that. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, think about that. All right. They have the truth, they know the truth, but they've declared the truth unrighteousness. And by the way, they're about to declare unrighteousness as truth. What did I say? How does this get advanced? Okay, tell the lies long enough that the lies are accepted as truth and the truth is accepted as a lie, and we are right there. Okay, woe, the Bible says, woe unto them that declare good to be evil and evil to be good. All right? Verse 19 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God created all of us with the knowledge inside of us, hardwired in us, that we have a creator. Okay, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. He's not trying to convince me, he's trying to convince himself. He's trying to shut down the voice that's inside of him that God put there that's telling him somebody made all of this. And then there's the second great witness to God's existence, and of course that is the creation. And that's why you have the evolutionists come out of atheism. They got to produce an alternate theory and an alternate explanation for what is obviously the handiwork of Almighty God. And so that's where we're at. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was, there it is, darkened. Boy, study that word out. I can't teach all this. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. That's why they've taken over the universities and the schools, because, you know, they think they're the smartest man in the room. And this is, they position this, their viewpoint, as intellectualism, and look down at us as if, you know, we're just people that buy into superstitions and fables and all of those things, okay? Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And folks, that's evolution. Atheism, birth. In verse 21 and 22, births evolution in verse 23. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Boy, when a man decides there's no God and he just evolved from something, he's never going to have to face God and face judgment. That means he can dismiss the Bible. And you know what? Natural man left to himself, you know what? We'll go to debauchery. That's what they'll do. And so you have immorality in verse number 24. As a result of that, go back and study American history, 1950s, 1960s, that's what we've seen. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. That's humanism. Okay, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up into vile, vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Heavenly Father, help me as I try it in a timely fashion. Lord, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show the people their sins. Lord, this is a sin that is not a light thing. This is a sin that has the potential to destroy my country, destroy the United States of America, destroy the freedoms that my grandchildren ought to be able to enjoy. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you'd help me, dear God, to have the spirit, your spirit, a spirit of love for people, and yet, Lord, also have a your spirit, which is a spirit of hatred of sin. And so I pray, dear God, you'd help me to strike that balance tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Seven lies the sodomites need you to believe. I don't know if you've kept up or not. I haven't said much about it, but Brother Jonathan Reiser and the White River Baptist Church have kind of gone to war over this over the course of the last month. They, down in their town there in Princeton, am I right? Yeah, Princeton. They had a group decide that they were going to put on a drag queen show downtown, a secure location right there in the city, and put on a drag queen show and try to encourage people to come out and be exposed to this sin. And again, I'm going to only explain what I need to, and you'll understand why I'm doing what I'm doing tonight. But Brother Reiser found out about it, his people found out about it, and so they found out the time and the date when this was going on, and they went to another part of town, secured a park, and they decided to put on a Faith, Family, and Freedom Day. And free food, bouncers, all kinds of activities for the kids. And they had, by the way, yesterday, all this went down yesterday. Yesterday, they had over 500 people come to their Faith, Freedom, and Family rally. And I think there was seven degenerates that went to the other one. I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. But you know what they said? If they're going to come into our city and promote something evil to try to draw people to it, what we're going to do is give people an alternate thing to go to. And that's what they did. And you know what? Thank God for the people of that county who said, you know what, if given a choice, I think I'll go over and stand where they're promoting faith, where they're promoting family, where they're promoting freedom. And we're going to talk about freedom because, folks, that word is being misused to try to advance this kind of wickedness. You know, freedom is not the right to do whatever you want. You know, when you start hearing people talk about freedom and don't talk about the responsibility, you know, freedom's more about responsibility than it is rights. All you hear about is rights. But, you know, with freedom comes responsibility on how you use that freedom. Well, I got the freedom to do whatever I want. Oh, okay, so you got the freedom to set bombs, come on, in major metropolitan areas and destroy our nation and just say, well, I have freedom. Well, when what you're doing starts destroying a nation, then you know what? You're misusing and misinterpreting what freedom's all about. You know what? My freedom ought to always be confined and restrained by, first of all, is what I'm doing acceptable in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, acceptable in the eyes of God. And by the way, is it profitable to my fellow man? Well, this sin that's being promoted under the flag of freedom does neither of those things. It's an abomination against Almighty God, and it is going to destroy the United States of America if we don't repent over this. And so you've got to think right about that. And I'm so thankful that he did that. I don't know where he gets this rebel rouser spirit where he thinks he's got to go out and, I don't know, I'm going to talk to him about that and tell him to settle down a little bit. But there are times that we need to stand. There are times that we as a nation, hey, Nehemiah building the wall, folks. You know what? Let's not forget the main thing is to build the wall. But you know what? With the building had to come some battling. And there were times when they had to literally work with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And you know what, folks? The main thing is to build the wall. We got to keep the main thing the main thing, okay? Because especially some of you, come on, my generation of fundamentalism, we were fighting fundamentalists, and it's almost like we're always looking for somewhere to go pick a fight, you know. But if you're not careful, you can leave off the building of the wall to chase the enemy. The reason we wield the sword and sometimes fight is to protect our right to build. And once we win a battle, we don't just go look for random battles. You know what we do? We go back to building the wall. Hey, the Great Commission is still the main thing, okay? And we've got to be careful because I've watched people just get off on track and go to seed on this. And I even, Brother Reiser, that, you know, they've been in the middle of this. I sent him a text, just said, hey, you know, it's trial and the sword, brother. I appreciate you doing this, and you're 100% right to do it, but keep your people balanced in this. He said, preacher, it's so funny you should say that. Tonight I'm going to preach a message entitled What to Do After the Victory. And you know what, folks, listen to me. If I have to fight, I'll fight. You know, and there's going to be times that we have to fight. But if you're not careful, all you're interested in doing is going and picking a fight or going and starting a fight, and you start defining yourself as a fighter. Well, listen, we fight when it's necessary. But the honest truth is, if you're fighting all the time, but you're not out soul winning, passing out tracts, helping in a bus ministry, trying to change the world, then you know what? You've got out of balance. So we got to keep things balanced. And so him and his church have gone through this. And you know, isn't it great? Think about, they haven't been there that long. And you know what? Here in the storefront kind of years of their life, they were put in a position where they had to take a stand. And by the way, thank God they took the stand. Amen. But the reason that they had to do that is because they're trying to educate people concerning the lies that are being told about this. People need truth. People need truth. What are the seven lies? Number one, the Bible does not really condemn homosexuality. You know, folks, there's churches that are ordaining sodomite pastors. There's churches this month that are flying pride flags off the front of their buildings. Now, think about that. How in the world can we win the battle if the church won't stand up against? Well, they've bought into a lie and they're trying to propagate a lie. If you went to those churches, you know what you'd hear if you confronted the pastor? Well, the Bible doesn't really condemn this sin. Folks, that is a lie. It's a lie. Okay, Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Think about this. Leviticus 20:13, if a man lieth with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. What is the truth, preacher? The truth has to counter the lie. The truth is found in the Bible. This is the truth. Okay, if you believe something opposite of this, this is true, and you have bought into a lie, a falsehood, okay? So we define truth through the Word of God. The truth is this: homosexuality is soundly condemned as a wicked, grievous, and exceedingly sinful. It's a sin that is declared wicked, and the participant sinners exceedingly. Genesis 13:13, and this is all connected to Sodom and Gomorrah. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I didn't write that, but I believe it. Okay, and no man is going to convince me otherwise. Okay, it is a sin that cries out for God's judgment. Now, Genesis 18:21-22, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. That's God. Okay. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And this is a sin that literally cries out to heaven for judgment. God hears this. Okay, what God is seeing and what is going on this month in the United States of America, you better realize that every time you see something in the news, that is a cry towards heaven, daring God to send judgment. This is a serious thing. Genesis 18:20. It's labeled as a very grievous sin. Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grievous. So what is the truth? Do we just ignore this and just sit there and go, well, you know, maybe the Bible? No, the Bible's very specific. And the young people, don't ever buy into that lie. Okay, that somehow the Bible does not condemn this. The sin of homosexuality, listen, the truth is God poured out divine judgment, erasing cities from existence because of the sin of homosexuality. Genesis 19 verses 1 through 5, Genesis chapter 24, or 19 verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. What is the truth, preacher? The truth is toleration of sodomy by Israel is listed as one of the reasons Israel and Judah were defeated by heathen kings and taken into captivity. Hey, America, you better listen. You better listen. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 22 through 24. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill, and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And that is an explanation in 1 Kings chapter 14. Why God is about to turn them over to judgment and allow them to be taken into captivity. Preacher, what's the truth? Homosexuality is the last stop on the road to becoming a reprobate. All right, Romans chapter 1, we just read that, chronicles the sins that result in the destruction of a civilization. Homosexuality is the last stop a person or a nation makes on the reprobate road. And I'm not going to reread those verses. So what can we summarize based on just the scriptures I covered? Here's a summary. The Bible clearly condemns the sin of homosexuality as being an abomination against God and as a wicked sin, a grievous sin, an abomination. It is a sin that cries out to God for judgment. And God hears that cry. And although he will give a nation a space of grace to repent and remove this sin, when God sees that a city or a nation is given over to this sin, he always sends judgment. God erased two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, from existence because of this sin. God allowed heathen nations to overrun and destroy the nation of Israel because they allowed this sin to exist in their midst. America will not be an exception to this. I want to say it out loud. It is unpatriotic to advance a sin that will destroy your nation. Homosexuality is condemned as the last sin on the road to becoming a reprobate. When someone fully embraces and defends this sin in his or her life, the Bible says God gave them up unto vile affections and gave them over to a reprobate mind. How can you just look at those handful of verses and come to me with a straight face and try to convince me that somehow God is winking at this sin because, you know what, we're the United States of America. Lie number two, just like a preacher, this is what they'll try to tell you. Listen, well, they'll say, well, just like a person is born in a certain race, you know, some people are just born homosexual. By the way, that's very intentional, okay, that they want to align their sin with race. Why are they calling people like me that preach against it a bigot? Why do they get by with it? Because they have aligned themselves with the civil rights movement. Come on. And the defending of a mistreatment of races, they want to get with that group and stand with them and say, we're just like them. I'm sorry, you're comparing apples and oranges. So what is the truth? By the way, they used to say this, and then, you know, they had to let the trans into their little community, but they used to also try to align themselves with the woman's rights movement. That's kind of fallen apart in the last few years. They'll say, used to say not that long ago, well, just like a man is born, a person is born either a man or a woman, or they're born a certain race, then, you know, we're born homosexuals the same way. Well, all of a sudden, they can't even admit that people are born a man or a woman. You know, so think about that. They've already lost that. So now they basically have put that argument aside. And I mean, they were saying this 3-4 years ago, folks. This is just recent. All of a sudden, you don't hear that argument anymore. I just laugh about it. Yeah, the more levels of perversion you let in, the more of your arguments are going to fall by the wayside. Okay, well, preacher, you know, a person is born a certain race, you know. You know, they're born an Asian, or they're born Spanish descent, or they're born, you know, a black, or you're born a white, you know. And you know, just the same way, some people are born homosexuals. Okay, that's the lie. Look right up here. That is a lie. That doesn't even make common sense. That's a lie, okay? The truth is this. Let me just say this first of all. We're all born sinners. We're all born sinners. That's why we thank God for sending his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, to die for our sins. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can receive, listen, both forgiveness and deliverance from our sins. However, the Bible has clearly identified homosexuality, sodomy as a sin. It's already settled in the scripture, okay? When a person is faced with a choice to do right or wrong, no matter what the right or wrong is, and he chooses wrong, then he chose to sin. Okay, so he does have a choice. Every single person born in this world has a choice whether or not they're going to get involved in the sin of sodomy or not. Okay, so think about that. When a person is faced with a choice to do right or wrong, he chooses to do wrong, he chooses to sin. Voluntary, and I want to use that word and you'll understand why, you adults. Voluntary sexual activity is a human choice. And I know there's victims and you know they're victims. But we're talking about people that are involved in a voluntary decision. Right. If a person engages in a homosexual lifestyle, he does so because he or she does so by a choice. Right. This is not something that you are born into and you can't help and this is who you are. But that's the lie. Preacher, what's the truth? The reason this lie is so important to militant homosexual agenda is that if they can get you to believe this lie, they can align themselves with the civil rights struggles of the Afro-Americans, the American Indians, and all the other races, okay? They can align themselves with the civil rights struggles of women. Now they can't do that anymore. They used to. No one chooses which race they were born into, okay? No one chooses which gender they were born to be. However, voluntary perverse sexual activity is a choice that we make, not a predetermined right of birth. Okay? What's the truth? The reason it is vital to the militant homosexual, bisexuals, transgenders to have their sins listed alongside of race and used to be gender is because they wish to elevate their sin to a status that it does not deserve. Okay? Race is not an individual sin. Decision. Gender is not an individual decision. These are predetermined by God. Committing what the Bible says is an abomination is a wicked sin, a grievous sin, a sin determined to bring judgment upon a nation. If you choose to do that, it is an individual decision, a choice. It's a choice. It is blasphemy to elevate sexual perversion to the same protected status as race, religion, and gender. That's blasphemy. And yet we are cranking out laws all the time that is listing it as equal to race, religion, and gender in its protective status. And folks, this is dangerous. But they pulled it off for the most part. They pulled it off. Preacher, it seems like several years ago I read about this study about a gay gene. And by the way, folks, listen to me. That's been about 5-6 years ago all of a sudden. You know, it was a blurb on every news station channel for a while there. And the media, the left-wing media grabbed this story and began to talk about how they had identified what's called a gay gene. What is that? Well, in other words, they found literally in your genetic makeup that there is a gene that predetermines whether or not, and they're just trying to back this up, this lie up, folks. And by the way, man, the news media grabbed that little headline and ran with it. Folks, listen to me. And you know, I'm not going to stand up here again because of the circumstances and read the reports to you and the studies, but your preacher spent about 6-7 hours one day doing a study on this and reading every research paper out there, reading where it came from, how it got started. Folks, this is such a misrepresentation of the conclusion of that study that it's criminal. But they don't care about the truth. They care about advancing their ideology. So they talked about the gay gene, the gay gene, the gay gene for a whole week, and then they just dropped it because they knew they didn't even have science to back it up. Okay? The gay gene was reportedly discovered and trumpeted by militant homosexuals in the biased mainstream media. By the way, is a complete and utter fabrication and exaggeration of the actual scientific study which supposedly produced it. And I can't go through in it any deeper. Google it, read the articles. Every reputable science on both sides of the belief, whether they're God or anti-God, has condemned the whole gay gene thing as bogus science. But the truth doesn't matter. Let's just advance a lie, repeat it enough times. We're just following the science. No, you're not. Right. No, you're not. Lie number 3, God is a God of love and has instructed Christians to love everyone no matter who they are or what they do. That's a lie. That's a lie. You better listen. God is a God of love, but God is also a God of, how come we never hear him talk about the holiness of God? And they only talk about the love of God. God loves mankind but hates iniquity, loves sinners but hates sin. And yes, are we to love everyone no matter who they are and what they do? Yes, we are, but we do not love what they do and we do not condone what they do and we're not to tolerate what they do. Okay, Christians should both be loving and holy. Loving and holy. The greatest act of love is preaching the gospel, sharing with sinners that God sent his son to die for their sins so they can be both forgiven and delivered from their sins. Right. As a result, they get to spend eternity in a holy, sin-free place called heaven. Okay? So the lie is, God has got to, they're going to try to guilt trip you. God is a God of love, and he's instructed you Christians, you're to love everyone, no matter who they are or what they do. Yeah, we're supposed to love them, but that doesn't mean we love their sin. That doesn't mean we don't preach against their sin. Matter of fact, the only way to get someone to Jesus is to preach against their sin so they come under conviction of sin. Because, folks, without conviction, there's not a conversion. Okay? And so an act of love is when we preach against this sin. You know, somebody will find us on the internet in some place, you know, I'll be declared a hate monger and this will be declared hate speech. This is the greatest love sermon you may ever hear, especially if you're involved in this sin. Because someone cares enough about you to take you to the Bible, show you what God thinks about this sin, but then also quickly say, guess what? We're all sinners. And the same God that forgave my sins and delivered me from my sins can forgive your sins and deliver you from your sins, but you have to be willing to turn from your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. This is truth versus lie. So what is the truth? God is both a God of love and a God of holiness. Interesting how the militant homosexuals want to talk about the love of God. They never want to discuss the holiness of God. And it's all through the Bible. Psalms 99, let them praise the great and terrible thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Psalms 145, 17. I mean, how many verses on the holiness of God, you know? The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Isaiah, when he saw the vision of God, you know what he saw? He saw the seraphims there. And what were the seraphims doing? They were flying around the throne. And what were they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 17 exhorts us, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we have a holy God. Okay, again, which God loves sinners. And you know what? God hates sin. God sent his son to die for those sins, to pay for those sins, so that you can have eternal life. You can be saved from those sins. Folks, listen to me. God has never, and you'll never find it in the Bible, where God tells us to accept or to tolerate or to love sin and wickedness. We're to hate it. God hates it. We're to hate it. God is a God who loves people but hates sin. His holiness will not tolerate or excuse sin, but his great love will forgive and deliver people from their sins. Again, verses in the Bible, Psalms 97:10, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. This is what the Bible said. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Hey, if you love people, come on. How can you love your flowers and not hate weeds? Okay, whatever you love, you ought to hate the things that has the potential to destroy what you love. Okay, and that's what God made us in his image. Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Listen, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Let me just go on record and say it. I hate the sin of sodomy. I hate the sin of homosexuality. And then say, I hate the sodomites and I hate the homosexuals. I hate that sin. You know why? We'll get into it one of the other reasons. But folks, I love America. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. You know what? If I'm going to love America and I'm going to love my children, my grandchildren, I want to see them live in a nation that has experienced the blessing of God, then I got to hate everything that threatens that for them. Okay? Psalms 119, 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Just Google the word hate and go look through it. You know, I preached a message one time on a Sunday night here. My God, a God of hate. And you know what? You know, just saying that, it got real quiet right then. Did that night too. But you know what? If you don't like it, I guess go to all these verses and tear it out. He said, listen, through thy precepts, through the Bible, I get understanding. Through thy, Psalms 119, 104, through thy precepts, I get understanding. And when I have the understanding of the Bible, therefore, I hate every false way. Why do you hate the false way? Because these false, wicked sins, these lies, have the potential to send people to hell and destroy a nation, destroy this upcoming generation. Psalms 119, 127, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 17. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination of him. A proud look, listen, a lying tongue. A lying tongue. The hands that shed innocent blood. That's the abortion crowd, by the way. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Listen, two of the seven things listed have to do with lying. Okay, a lying tongue. A false witness that speaketh lies. I hate the lies. I hate these seven lies. When I hear mainstream media repeat over and over these lies, I hate what I'm hearing. I hate every false way. I didn't say I hate the person that's on the news, but I hate their lying tongue. You know, God said he hated their lying tongue. I'm allowed to at least hate their tongue. All right. What is the truth? It is a Christian's obligation to be light in a dark world. We're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But rather reprove them. The Bible does not teach a Christian to accept or tolerate sins of perversion, but to speak out against them. Jesus came and preached about the love of God. Yes, he did. But he also preached repentance and for remission of sin. Isaiah 58, 1. You young preachers, listen. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And so that's lie number three. Lie number four, Christians who condemn homosexuality are disobeying the Bible because they are judging people. And the Bible commands us not to judge one another. Oh, my goodness sakes. Thank goodness the sinful world and the backslidden Christians at least have one Bible verse memorized. And this is what they have memorized. Judge not, that you be not judged. Of course, they don't go ahead and read the next verse. For what, with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you met, it shall be measured to you again. It's not telling you to not use judgment. It's telling you, as a remind you, if you're going to understand whatever you judge, you're going to have to stand on the same balance. Okay? Here's the truth. Listen, the Bible cautions Christians about judging the motives of others, but encourages, listen, Christians to inspect the actions of others and compare them to the commands of the Bible. Okay? Every day, every one of us have to make judgment calls.
That's right.
Never be put on a guilt trip, because I'm going to read you Bible verses that tell you to judge. There's sometimes you have to judge. Okay? Every day, every one of us has to make judgment calls. There's even a book in the Bible called the Book of Judges. The Bible does not condemn this activity. But by the way, those judges were appointed by God.
That's right.
If nobody's allowed to judge, why is God in the Bible appointing judges? Okay? Think about this. The Bible does not condemn this activity, but simply cautions us to, here's the Bible phrase, we'll read the verse in a minute, to judge righteously. Understanding that whatever standard we hold others to, we should be willing to keep that same standard. And if we're not willing to, then that's hypocrisy, okay? Leviticus 19:15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, but thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. Did you hear that? But in righteousness, when you judge, make sure you're using righteous judgment. And don't get involved in unrighteous judgment. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And thy servants is in the midst of the people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? John 7:27. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Here the Bible told me, make sure when you judge righteously. So don't tell me that you don't make judgment calls, and I don't make judgment calls almost every day of our life. We just need to make sure that when we judge, we're judging righteously. Think about this, Matthew 7. We better listen. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast in the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, folks, that's why I don't listen. I mean, I'll listen to what a person says, but it doesn't carry as much weight as what I see them do. Words are cheap. People can say one thing. You know, the sodomite businessmen that came and picketed our church sure talked a lot about tolerance. But you know what? When it came to an opposing view, were they tolerant? Have I ever gone down and picketed their business? Well, not yet. You don't know. I may end up doing that one of these days, but I haven't. Isn't it interesting? They say one thing with their mouth, but what do their actions do? They talk about being tolerant. Yes, they're the most intolerant people in the United States of America. They're talking about living in peace and, you know, accepting other people. And yet, you know what? That's fine all the way up to the Christians, the Bible believers. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're haters and horrible people. It's amazing what parts of the Bible the homosexuals want to quote, usually out of context, and what parts they want to dismiss. Here's the truth. We'll move on to the next one. Here's the truth. If a man or a woman boldly and proudly proclaims themselves to be involved in the sin of homosexuality, so they say, well, you're judging me. Okay, if you are proudly, and that's what we're seeing, this pride thing. Do a study on the word pride, by the way. Don't ever, by the way, t- talk to me about, well, there's a good kind of pride and a bad kind of pride, unless you can show me a Bible verse. And I mean, I've had Christian people say that. You need to stop saying it. Okay, stop trying to dip this sin in some type of chocolate and make it okay in the arena of your life. Okay? Pride cometh before destruction. Okay, I mean it. If you know why some of you are looking at me like you don't believe me? Because you never did a word study on the word pride. You got a concordance. Okay, pride, proud, proudly. Look at all the verses. Go to everyone and bring me one that says one positive thing about it. That's why you'll hear the preacher most of the time. I'll say, I'm thankful for so-and-so. I don't say I'm proud of so-and-so. I'm thankful for them because we're supposed to have a heart of thankfulness. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. This pride thing, and to take an entire month, fly pride flags, take a sin that's an abomination to God. By the way, steal a symbol from the Bible. It's a symbol of promise. It's not a symbol of pride. And think about that. Mercy sakes. Well, listen, folks, think about this. If a man or a woman proudly and boldly proclaims themselves to be involved in homosexual, and they're getting on the streets and they're marching down the streets, then they said, well, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. You're the one that's saying it out loud that that's what you are. Here's what you really don't like. There's no judgment on my part. No judgment is needed. The Bible has already passed judgment on this sin. The Bible passes judgment on this sin as being, I'm going to repeat it again, wicked, grievous, and abomination against God. No judgment is needed on my part. God has spoken, case closed. I believe God. Amen. Listen, the Christians are not judging you. God's word is judging you. What bothers you is that we stand with the Bible. Amen. Lie number five, legalizing homosexual marriage doesn't adversely affect anyone. Christians need to learn tolerance. We need to peacefully coexist. Now, that's what they say with their mouth, but again, why don't you look at what they're doing with their lives? They want us to be quiet. They want us to, you know, pipe down. They want us to be accepting. They want us to be tolerant, but are they tolerant of our stand and our right to express our opinion? Oh, if you think they are, go to work and start spouting it. And see how tolerance works. Yeah. Okay? Think about that. But they say, you know, it doesn't affect you. You know, what that person is doing. You don't even hear Christians say, well, you know, what they do in the privacy of their home. You know, blah, 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 blah. What are you talking about? What do you mean it doesn't adversely affect you? Have you paid attention? This sin is not staying in the privacy of their own home. It's now on the streets. It's now in our public school system. They are introducing it to preschoolers. And yet we're supposed to be tolerant. You know, and if we're not, we're not good Christians. What's the truth, preacher? Listen, some of you need to hear this. Christianity and sodomy are diametrically opposed. I want to say it even stronger. The two belief systems cannot peacefully coexist. Cannot. You know why? Because Bible preachers are commanded by God to preach against this sin. The militant homosexuals wish to make this preaching illegal. Oh, preacher, you're overstating it. All right, get in your car and drive up to Canada. And almost any European nation. Okay, start a church and put on the marquee outside the church that this Sunday you're going to preach a sermon against the sin of homosexuality. You know what you'll find yourself? You'll find yourself in handcuffs and you'll find yourself in jail. And what's happened in Canada, what's happened in Europe, they are pushing to happen in the United States of America. I used to say with maybe some youthful bravado and maybe a little pride, I used to say, you know what, before I finish my ministry, I'll end up being arrested for preaching the word of God. And I'm not even sure if I really believed it, but I may have been prophesying. Yeah. What happens when they turn this into hate speech? What happens when they tell Jerry Ross that I'm not allowed to stand in the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and read the verses against homosexuality and preach the type of message I'm preaching? It's against the law. It is a hate crime. What's going to happen? The next Sunday, I'm going to put it on the marquee, and I'm going to stand in the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And it'll be interesting to see which one of you show up and which one of you don't. We do have to stand. And you know what? What God has commanded me to do as a preacher supersedes anything that any law that man can pass. Any law that man can pass. And we better understand that we need to stand strong on this, but folks, it's coming with a higher and higher price. Okay? We're diametrically opposed. They are dedicated to the destruction of the Word of God and what it teaches. And I am dedicated to the eradication of this sin in my nation. And yet you want me to go down to the coffee shop and, you know, share a cup of tea and just see if we can find common ground somewhere? Go into the homosexual-owned pizza place and go down there and buy their pizza and just kind of make him my buddy? No, I'll pray for him. I'll witness to him. I hope God turns them. I hope that they're not totally given over to a reprobate mind. You better study what that means. I mean, folks, well, there's hope for a person as long as they're breathing. Not some. You ought to listen to the old sermon. J. Oswald Smith, I think, was preached, maybe not. God's three deadlines. We need to resurrect some of these old sermons. Amen. Brother, there's some lines you can cross while you're still breathing and living. The Bible, when it says he gave them over, study it out. You don't believe it? Study it out. There's some sins. And by the way, that doesn't mean look right up here. I want to be very clear on this. That doesn't mean everybody involved in this sin has been given over to a reprobate mind. Folks, it's like, I used to say it like this. When two Jehovah Witnesses come to my door, it's kind of like us Baptists. There's usually the person that is wholly given over to the belief system of the Jehovah Witness. Then there's the trainee who's maybe been recruited recently and he's still learning. And you know what? There's a lot of our young people that have been, you know what, victimized and been convinced and have participated in this, been lured into this sin. But you know what? They haven't got to the point where they've been given over to it, to a reprobate mind. Some of these old reprobate, come on, sodomites. Okay? Pray for them. I pray they haven't been given over. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not going to stand here and try to be God in this area. God knows who he's given over and who he hasn't. But that doesn't mean I don't try to witness to somebody that's caught up in this sin, especially young people. Because there are witnesses, there are testimonies across America, there are young people that have been saved out of this and delivered from this and have this in their former life. And folks, listen to me, God, but I'm going to tell you, there is a line. This is a dangerous sin. And that isn't said about too many sins in the Bible. God just gives them over. But it's said about this sin. Now think about that. We can't peacefully coexist. Why? Because I have an obligation to preach all of the counsel of God. That means if I go an entire year, 2 years or 3 years and never lift up my voice like a trumpet, and preachers are doing it because they're scared of it and don't preach against this, then how in the world? Listen, I'm not preaching all the counsel of God. All right? So, you know what? The Bible says this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord? Yeah, how are we going to find common ground? Christ and Belial. Well, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. The truth is this, as Bible-believing Christians, we are told that we are not allowed to come into the public schools. Think about this. As Bible-believing Christians, I'm told I'm not allowed to come to the public school, university, and advance our belief system. However, militant homosexuals are succeeding in introducing their perverse lifestyle to our children as they enter kindergarten and even before. It's both our right and our duty to fight against the recruiting of our children into a perverse and anti-biblical lifestyle. And I'm not going to get quiet about it. Lie number 6. Anyone who is against homosexuality is a bigot, full of hate, and a homophobic. Let me just cover this one real quick, okay? Anytime somebody gets to the point in a discussion where all of their lies are being answered by truth and they're getting frustrated, listen, when you are losing an argument, you know what you start doing? Well, you're a bigot. You're homophobic. You're a hater. And when somebody stops presenting reasonable arguments and starts name-calling, I always smile at them and say, thank you very much. I graciously accept your surrender. So in other words, you have no logical thing to say. You have no truth to stand on. You have no answer to the truth. So what you start doing is being called names. Now, folks, nobody likes to be called names. Okay, and this is so effective because it seems like all you got to do is call a Christian a name and they shut up. You know, if standing against the sin of homosexuality makes me a bigot, then spell it with a capital B.
Amen.
But it doesn't make me a bigot. It's a lie. Again, you're going back to that thing where you want to equate yourself with race because then you can use the bigot argument. Homophobic? Excuse me, I'm not scared of you. Okay, growing up, it wasn't the Twinkies on the playground that I was scared of. I'm not scared of you. I'm not scared of your sin. We pity you. Look right up here. We pray for you. We'd like to see you delivered from it. And by the way, we're not homophobic. They're Bible-phobic. We can take the same arguments and turn around on them, just change the wording a little bit, and go. But I'm not going to go to name-calling, but they are. They think I'm scared of the sin of homosexuality. They're scared of the Word of God. That's why they're trying to make it so that I can't preach it, because they know what it says. Okay, so be careful that, you know, somebody called, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. You know what? Don't shut up just because somebody decides to start calling you names. Matter of fact, like I said, just smile at them and say, I graciously accept your surrender. You have no reasonable argument. So at like a 7-year-old, you're going to go to name calling. Well, I'll just accept that as your surrender. Amen. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. All right. Line number 7, we're almost done. There are different definitions of a family. Please listen to this. As long as people love each other, it shouldn't matter. There's different definitions of a family. As long as people love each other, it shouldn't matter. That's a lie. That's a lie. Preacher, what's the truth? God created two genders and only two.
Right.
Two genders and only two. This whole transgender thing and all of this, I mean, folks, this is causing confusion. And this is being done behind the backs of the parents. Not in San Francisco and New York and Greene County, yes. Sullivan County. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, no, it's not. How would you know? You're not in the classroom. Yes, it is. Yeah, but I went down to a school board meeting. We shut that down. So those teachers aren't doing it anyway? That we're determined to advance that? You might as well get your head out of the sand. I want to just say this. I wish everybody in Greene County would listen to this message. I wish every parent that claims to be a Christian and claims to believe the Bible would listen to me. You want to shut this thing down in this county? It's not a matter of attending a school board meeting. And I'm glad everybody that went. Let me tell you how you're going to do it. This fall, when school opens, every single young person that claims to be a Christian, parents claim to be Christians, you know what? Empty the classrooms out and keep your kids home for the first entire month of school. Let the perverts walk into empty classrooms and teach what they want to teach. You talk about get the attention of a county. Listen, it's time for parents to be parents. I put it on the sign out here. I don't know if you've seen it or not. But for Father's Day, here was my Father's Day message to our community. You know, no dad should allow perverts access to their children. Period. What's with dads being dads? What happened? You knowing what's going on? You surely know, don't you read? And yet you're putting them in an environment where they are literally being recruited and groomed into a perverse lifestyle from kindergarten on. I'm going to tell you something. My dad, the nation got so bad that in 1977, Dad opened Blessed Hope Christian School. This is back in 1977. The wickedness of what was going on in the public school system was so bad. Churches started a Christian school movement and said, we're just not putting our kids in that environment anymore.
Right.
1963, come on, 60 years ago, we kicked God and the Bible and prayer out of the public school system. Well, how are you doing? How you doing? Okay, I don't understand. I'll just say it. Listen, you got to make your decision. Sir, you're the head of your house. But you're going to stand before God and answer for the decisions that you made. And if you allow a pervert's perverts access to your children and try to recruit them into this kind of lifestyle, you're going to answer to God for it one of these days. By the way, I'm saying that, and I'm looking in your God-given eyeball while I'm saying it, because I'm going to stand before God with clean hands on this, that I warned you no matter what you choose to do. Okay? This is not a joke. The percentages of young people that are being involved in this sin and declaring this, you know, folks, listen to me. It's the fad. It's a fad. It gets them attention. It's the new thing. So you know what? They're easily, come on. These little children are easily swayed. Well, I teach them different at home. How much time at home do you have teaching them this? They got 40 hours a week. Do you have 40 hours a week to teach unteach lies? That's why you put them in a Christian school or you homeschool them. It's way past time. For Christians, listen, if you haven't given up on the public school system and declared it for what it is, I just want to go off on so many things right now. If you still are buying Disney anything, you're out of your mind. Listen, if you go to Disney World, don't send me pictures of it because you're not going to like my response. Well, we can't boycott everything. Listen, I'm not worried about boycotting everything, but there's some of them that are out there so much in the front on this, and this is a company that's dedicated to producing material to influence the next generation, and they're not hiding their agenda. Amen. I mean, buy anything. Don't you buy them a stuffed Mickey Mouse. Don't you buy them, you know. I heard there's a new mermaid or whatever, you know. I mean, they're remaking everything because they got to keep up with, you know, whatever. Well, we just set them down in front of cartoons. What's being taught to them in those cartoons? It has infiltrated everything. Everything. Well, there's different definitions of the family. Well, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Two genders. I'm just not making this stuff up. This is so elementary. Listen, if you want to be delusional, that's your choice. But I don't have to be delusional with you. If you want to believe lies, that's your choice. But I'm not going to sit there and bobblehead your lies as if they make sense. They don't make sense. Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. Matthew 19:4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Okay, there's not even any need for a discussion about this whole gender confusion. God just settled that if you were born a girl, you're a girl. If you were born a boy, you were a boy. And boy, this is deep stuff. Amen. God did not look down and go, oh my goodness, I messed up on that one. I meant to put that girl in a girl's body, but I messed up and put her in a boy's body. You know what? To declare yourself as transgender is to point a finger of accusation against Almighty God and say, you messed up. And God's never messed up. What's the truth? God created man. God defined the family. Okay, a woman and a man married. You know what? Producing children, staying faithful to each other till death do them part. The militant homosexual agenda includes the desire to destroy the biblical family. And I'm supposed to coexist, right? And be tolerant? The Bible definition of the family is one man married to one woman for life. What's the truth? The Bible adamantly condemns any sin that threatens to destroy a God-defined, God-ordained family unit. The greatest penalties that are assigned to sins that the greatest penalties are assigned to sins that threaten the family unit. Go back in the Old Testament law and read it. I mean, the things that are called abominations and the sins that had the most severe consequences were sins, usually, come on, sexual sins that threatened to destroy the biblical family. Okay, it's not by accident. I'm going to say it one more time. Listen, watch this. It is unpatriotic to advance and promote a sin that will eventually bring destruction upon the nation you live in. So, folks, listen to me. As go the family, goes the nation. If you destroy the basic family unit, that's the building block of society. You destroy the basic family unit, you destroy the nation that's made up by that family unit. And so this is what it's all about, okay? And folks, listen to me. Again, if we're going to judge, let's judge righteously. Okay? We're going to stand here and condemn homosexual sins. What about heterosexual sins? Okay? You know where we get it thrown back in our faces? All right. Exodus 20:14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Leviticus 20:10, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife." I'm not talking about this. The most severe penalties in the Old Testament law was attached to any sin that threatened the family unit. Not just the sin of sodomy. Listen to these. Leviticus 20:10, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." Now, we're going to lose our moral high ground here if we decide that we're going to condemn one level of perverseness, but then wink, wink, wink in the church at this type of thing. That's why in 1 Corinthians, Paul took him to task. And he said, you know what? Fornication is going on in the church, and you know what? You're not doing anything about it. Okay, don't get mad at your preacher if I have to face this down from time to time. Okay, we'll always do the best we can to help everybody no matter what they get involved in. I promise you that. Listen, my first inclination is never to pick up stones. It's always to salvage the sinners and see if we can fix the marriage. But if somebody gets to the point where they, in a hard-hearted fashion, defiantly decide that they're going to live a life of fornication and they think they're going to come into Blessed Hope Baptist Church and strut their stuff, they will be publicly dealt with and should be publicly dealt with. By the way, one of the reasons God has us do that is it puts a fear in us. But you know what? In the average church, I'm talking about in Greene County, Indiana, all kinds of sins, people are shacking up, people are doing all kinds of things. And you know what? They're holding positions in the church. What are we doing? Okay, Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. I'll finish this, but you better listen to this. Well, preacher, I know, but okay, you explain these verses to me afterwards, and we're getting ready to go home. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Listen, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And we have a group of people that are involved in the sin of homosexuality, claiming to be Christians, claiming they're going to heaven. Well, you explain away that.
Come on.
All right. Explain away that. We need to take this seriously, church. Young people, I know this has gone a little long, but boy, there needs to be a time at least once every year where a preacher just comes to the pulpit and says, "Hey, it's time. It's time for everybody to be reminded." Isn't it easy? Isn't it amazing how easily we can kind of be softened and persuaded by these lies? Okay, when I mentioned some of them, I saw some of you kind of stiffen up a little bit. Listen, I'm not mad at you, but you've been lied to so many times that if you're not careful, you start accepting a lie as a truth. Or look right up here. All of a sudden, somebody in your family or somebody you're close to starts getting involved in this, and you want to go soft on the sin. You love them. You pray for them. You do everything in your power to dissuade them from that. But don't you go soft on this sin. You're not doing them a favor by defending their sin. Okay? Love the sinner. Hate the sin. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear God. Now, this isn't my favorite type of sermon to preach. It's really not. And Lord, I know you know my heart. You know, when you work in my heart to bring these types of messages, you know the things that I struggle over. But Lord, we can't go quiet. The perverts came out of the closet, and now they've left the closet door open. They're trying to put the preachers in the closet that they came out of. I pray, dear God, that we'd have a generation of preachers that simply will say, "We're not going in the closet. We're not going to go quiet on this. We're not backing down. We're going to stand up and lift up our voice like a trumpet. Lord, protect our young people, dear God, from this sin. There's people in this community, there's people, dear God, sometimes within their own family unit, they're going to try to recruit them into this lifestyle. Lord, I pray to God that Christian parents in Greene County and Sullivan County and Clay County would wake up, Owen County would wake up, and stop sending their children into an arena where these people are there to groom them and recruit them into a lifestyle that's been declared as perverse and an abomination to God. Lord, I pray parents would just be parents again. And they'd stand up and protect their children from this, whatever that means, whatever they have to do. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Again, as we close, not to hate people, but Lord, to be willing to hate the sins that God hates. We pray these things in Jesus' name.